We're going to move straight on to hearing God's word spoken to us and shared. Chris is going to be doing that. Our theme at the moment, as we said, I'm not sure if it came across, but our book is Colossians at the moment. So we're into Colossians and we're going to be our theme in our series at the moment is full, free and alive. And so I'm going to pray for Chris and pray for us as we come to hear what God has to say to us today. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life. And Father, we pray for each and every one of us right now. We pray for Chris as he speaks. Father, we pray that you would speak into our situations. That your word would set us free. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen. Chris, hand over to you.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning. And for those of you who don't know me and we've never met before, my name is Chris, and I am a part of the staff team at Christchurch and have been for nearly 8 years now. And it's great to be with you this morning. We are in now week three of our series in Colossians, which Neil said we've called our series Full, Free and Alive. And in week one, Paul asked us the question at the beginning of the gathering. He asked us what our favorite portrait was. And part of the reason for that was to demonstrate the point that this book of Colossians, from Paul, the writer of the book, Paul, St. Paul, this is his great portrait of Jesus. And so we particularly see that in chapter one of this book, but really right throughout it. It's an amazing, picture of who Jesus is. In week two, which is last week, We jumped ahead in our plan schedule a little bit, and Paul brilliantly helped us to speak into some of the issues surrounding race and injustice, and really encourage you to go and pick that up and catch up on that if you haven't heard that already. And so we're into week three now, week three, and we're gonna come back into chapter one, into the beginnings of chapter two. But before we do any of that, I just really had it on my heart this morning to do something a little bit different. And I wanted just to take a moment to honor our operations manager, Mark Parsons. And I often say about Mark that he is absolutely the best person ever I have ever known to do the job that he does. But what some of you don't know potentially is that he's also the guy who sits in our church office on Sunday mornings and makes all of this stuff work seamlessly and so brilliantly. And so, Mark, what I'd love you to do is just to pop yourself on screen if you possibly can, and he'll hate that I'm doing this. And he might not even do it. Is he there? There he is.
I wasn't even listening to what you were saying because I've got Soul here and I was chatting away to him. So you could have been saying anything, Chris. So I don't know what you were saying. But
I wanted to take a moment to honour you, Mark. Because
thank you.
Because of the way in which you enable us to do this week in, week out. I don't know what week we're in now, 14 maybe. But you've been there every week. And it was just really on my heart this morning to honour you for all that you do for us in our church and for our Sunday mornings as well. And so I wanted just to say that. But also for those guys who are on our Facebook stream right now, please do post something for your gratitude for Mark, your thanks to him for all that he does. And maybe an appropriate emoji for him as well, if you can. So thank you, Mark. You're amazing. And we bless you. Wonderful. So just maybe post some thanks to Mark. And we really are so thankful for who Mark is. Okay, on with our message for today. We asked at the beginning of the gathering what advice you might give your teenage self. Aren't there just so many things that you wish that you knew? There's just so many things that I wish that I knew. And I think one of the challenges of having kids, and particularly in lockdown when we're trying to do a little bit of homeschooling as well, is that it exposes you to all the things that you don't know. I remember fairly early on in lockdown, I think I was helping Jessica, who's my eldest daughter, with some of her year three maths. And those of you who know me know that I'm not particularly strong in maths. And I think we got to some fractions. And I was really starting to have issues with the year three fractions. It was a bit too much for me. But part of the beauty of having kids is the amount of questions that they ask you. And I thought in preparation for this talk, I would just take a note of a few of the questions that my kids asked me during the week. Here's a little snapshot. On Tuesday morning, I was sat with Rafi somewhere in our house, And she asked me three questions in the space of about 2 minutes. Just three questions, like bang, bang, bang. And this is the, these are the questions. The first question was, number one, how did God make us? Number two, how do you grow a beard? And number three, are we still alive in heaven? Amazing. Three questions, literally just straight off. Amazing questions. On Friday night, just before bed, Rafi asked me, Daddy, what is the lightest color in the world? What is the lightest color in the world? I love the questions. And having kids definitely exposes me to the things that I don't know and can't answer. But I guess it's my children's proximity to me as their father that enables them to ask me questions whenever they want. But it also gives me an opportunity as a father to help shape them and give them answers to things that they maybe didn't know before. So on our Father's Day today, part of this morning, we're going to see the heart of a father who is desperate to uncover things that were once hidden, to give answers to questions that we might have had. He wants to give us understanding. He wants to give us treasure. He wants to give us encouragement and the love of a father who wants to be in close proximity to us. I don't know if it's fair to say this, but I've been wondering this week whether it's true that that which we keep at a distance or that which we are at a distance from, we are less connected to by definition. Here's the thing. What is often true in the natural space, in the natural realm, is also often true in the spiritual realm. And when it comes to relationships specifically, where there is distance, there is also often danger. Where there is distance, there is also often danger. So the title for my message today is The Dangers of Distance. The Dangers of Distance. And I want to try and communicate this a little bit differently this morning. We're going to attempt to unpack three dangers of distance in our relationship with God that I believe come out of these verses here this morning. And after each section, we're going to try and pause. We're going to try and reflect a little bit and just pray as well into each section. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'd love you to open up Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 1, starting at verse 24, and we're going to read through to chapter 2, verse 5. I'm actually this morning going to read from the Message translation, but you can follow it through in whatever translation you've got. So here we go. Colossians 1, 24 to 2, 5. This is in the Message translation. Paul writes, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know how rich and glorious the secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. It's Christ. No more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy that God so generously gives me. I want you all to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side. I'm right alongside you. You're not alone in this. I want you to be woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything that there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown that mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off, true, And I may never lay eyes, you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side. I'm right beside you. I am delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways that you conduct your affairs and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. What an amazing set of verses. No matter what translation you're following in there, you'll know that they're deep and rich. And I believe that our verses in today speak into the unparalleled invitation of God to be close to him, to draw closer to him, and to live in continual proximity to him. I believe that these verses speak into a call to us to stop admiring him from a distance, to stop holding him at arm's length, and to receive the invitation that these verses give us, to put Jesus in the highest place, just as Paul does throughout this amazing letter. One of the keys to these verses is to understand more fully the idea of mystery that Paul talks about in those early verses of the last verses in chapter one. And what's important for us to understand is that the mystery that Paul talks about here is not just something mystical or unobtainable. It's not like an airy fairy or kind of away with the clouds sort of mystery. It's not about that at all. What this mystery means, it means that literally something has been hidden and it has been made visible. But it has been made visible, and this is the key, it's been made visible by divine revelation. This mystery has only been made available by divine revelation. The mystery is out in the open. It's no longer hidden. We have access to it. And the Bible is clear that mystery is Christ is in you. Christ in you, the NIV says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And our ability to access that mystery is given to us by divine revelation. It's not something that we can just work up and do ourselves. It's given to us by divine revelation. So the title of our message today is The Dangers of Distance. And so we're going to look at three dangers that I believe speak out of these verses. Luckily, today, they all begin with P, which is unusual for me. I don't normally do something like that, but I felt like that was important this morning. So we're going to look into those three things. The first one, the first danger is linked to pain. Pain. And our response to pain and our response to suffering. And it's not something I'm going to go into massive depth today, and I'm going to tread lightly around it, but I believe this is really important out of our scripture today. One of the things that's really easy to happen when we have distance with God, and it's really easy for distance to appear in our relationship with God when we're in times of pain and in times of suffering, for very obvious and for very natural reasons, that happens to many of us. And I'm not going to speak into the deep parts of the nature of suffering and all that kind of stuff this morning. But one of the things that happens often as that distance appears in times of pain and suffering is that we can believe that God doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. It's really easy for us to believe that God doesn't care about what we're going through. And I want you to know this morning that that isn't the case. There are probably people watching this morning, or you're going to watch on catch up, that you're in a really painful situation right now. You're in a really painful place. And that's going to involve suffering of many different kinds. That may be your situation right now. And can I just say to you that just as Paul writes to the people of Corinth and of Laodicea that they're not on their own, that he's right alongside them, that is true of the heart of God for you in your situation, in your painful place right now. I want you to know this morning that God cares deeply about where you're at, and he is with you, and that you're not alone. Can I also encourage you to come towards him in the pain and in the suffering, to not allow that distance to grow and to keep growing, but to come towards him in your pain and in your suffering. You know, it's important for us to take note of Paul's response to pain and suffering in these verses and tie it into that broader biblical narrative of pain and suffering. I wanted to read to you just a few verses from Romans 8, one of the great passages in all of scripture, and we know it well, lots of us. We pray about it. We preach on it. We know that passage really well. And I wanted to read you a few verses from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How good is that? It's amazing, 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 amazing. And we get to verse 16 and we often stop. And then verse 17 happens and it says, now we are children. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's really easy, isn't it, to stop at verse 16 and to skip over the realities of those next few verses. We love hearing all the stuff about being children of God and that we are led by the Spirit and we do not live in fear again. And then we get to verse 17. And it says, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in also that we may also share in his glory. See, the broader biblical narrative of pain and suffering, it's not about whether we will experience pain and suffering. That is often the case in our lives, that we experience it. It's not about whether we experience it. It's about the perspective with which we have when we're in it. The perspective we have when we're in it. And Paul has managed to cultivate such a unique perspective regarding pain and suffering that was incredibly linked to his closeness to God and his proximity to Jesus. But it was largely founded on his ability to maintain an eternal perspective, his hope for the future. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're someone who is experiencing pain and suffering in your life right now, I want to encourage you towards the God of hope. Towards the God who cares about your present and has good intentions for your future, to reorder your perspective and to come towards him and to not allow that distance to grow. So our first danger with distance in our relationship with God has to do with our response to pain and our response to suffering. Our second danger out of our verses, our second danger of distance in our relationship with God that I want to pick out of our verses this morning is the danger of plateau. So we've looked at pain and now we're going to look at the danger of plateau. To plateau in anything is to see very little or no change. That's what it means. To plateau means to stagnate, to stay the same. And when it comes to our relationship with God, that simply is not his design for us. We're not designed simply to plateau, to stay the same, for nothing to change. And in verse 28 of our verses from today in Colossians, Paul has just revealed the mystery. He's boiled down the entire word of God to this mystery, the fullness of God's word to this mystery. Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he says this, Christ is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Listen, here's the thing. We believe in a God whose heart is to change and transform us. I believe in a God whose heart is to change and transform us and to engage us in the ongoing work of maturity in our lives. If as believers, we're just the same from one day or one week or one month or even one year to the next, if we're just the same, I think there are some good questions for us to ask about the nature of our relationship with God, because he longs to change and transform us. One of the dangers in our distance with our relationship with God is that we plateau, that we just stay the same, that we don't change and we don't grow. And please hear me this morning. If you're in that place, I'm not judging you or condemning you in any way. It's not my job to do that. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you towards a loving heavenly Father, an amazing Father who has set his heart on revealing the greatest mystery of the world to you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't get closer than that. And if you find yourself at the moment in your relationship with God, you find distance in your relationship with God and you resonate with that word of plateau. Let's just take a moment to pause and to pray and to set your face towards him this morning, believing that he wants to change you, that he can transform you and that he longs to do it. Let's just take a moment to pause. I'm just going to pray. if you find yourself in that situation. Father, we pray this morning, and we pray into the pain, danger as well. We pray for anyone at the moment who is in a period or a time of pain and suffering. And we thank you, God, that whoever that is this morning is not on their own. We thank you that you are there, that you are right alongside them. And we pray for the courage this morning for people in that position to come towards you and to close the gap of distance that might be there as a consequence. And we pray also, Father, for any of us who have plateaued in our relationship with you, that we've seen little or no change, that we've stagnated, that maybe we've stopped growing, that there's distance there. And we pray, God, that you would come and that you would transform our hearts, that you would change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, one of the dangers of distance in our relationship with God is in our response to pain and response to suffering. The second danger of distance that comes in our relationship with God is that we begin to plateau. The third danger of distance, as we move into verse 29 of chapter 1 of Colossians and into the beginnings of chapter 2, the third danger is that of passivity. We've had pain, plateau, and now we've got the third one, which is passivity. And I know very well in my own journey with God, I know myself, I know this so well, that where there are feelings of distance in my relationship with God, there is often accompanied a feeling of passivity, to be passive, just to sit back and maybe not do a lot. I resonate with that a lot in my life. And when we read these verses from verse 29 into the beginnings of chapter 2, verse 1, there's something really key that happens, and what we see in the activity of Paul as he writes it. And it has to do with this word contend. Verse 29 says this: to this end, and what he's talking about here is presenting everyone fully mature in Christ, that people are growing. He wants people to grow. He doesn't want people to plateau. He says, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. This word contend, it's like a straining, or he's struggling for the people. He's really working hard. And he says that to this end, he strenuously contends with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in him. And I don't know whether you are someone today who feels like a lack of energy, whether you feel drained, you feel worn out. Neil's already talked about the idea that maybe some of us are tired and weary. I don't know what's going on here for Paul necessarily, but the energy that he requires in his life is beyond his own human capacity. It's like he's run out. He's reached the end of his capacity, because the energy that he contends with is the energy that Christ so powerfully works in him. And I want to encourage you today, if you've reached the end of your capacity, if you've reached the end of your energy, if that's created distance in your relationship with God, and that's created a passivity in your relationship with him, if you've reached the end of your capacity, let me encourage you, there's a whole nother layer. There's a whole nother thing going on. Christ, Jesus, can give you all that you need today. He can give you all the energy that you need. And we believe that he wants to do that. This word contending, chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. This is amazing, that the kind of life that Paul lived required such an energy, such an active, alive thing. I want to ask you this morning, what are you contending for at the moment? Maybe who are you contending for at the moment? Who are you straining for? Like, what are you straining for? What are you struggling for? What is that for you? Or maybe you're in a season right now where there's distance in your relationship with God that has led to some passivity. You just sat back. I really want to encourage you this morning to engage with the way Paul operates here in his contending for the people, contending for something. It's an amazingly powerful thing. And as we move through into verse 2 of chapter 2, And I don't know if you're a particularly goal-focused or orientated person, but in the NIV translation, this is what Paul writes. He writes, My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. I mean, that's an amazing verse. That they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, who in whom all things, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. And the mystery has been revealed to us. It's Christ in you. It doesn't get closer than Christ in you. Paul's goal is incredible here. And we can have so many things to take out of this goal, to be encouraged in heart, united in love, that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, that we may know the mystery of God, namely Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I don't know this morning where you're at. It's hard, even harder right now in this context, because I can't see you. I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you are someone right now who would say that you feel like there is distance in your relationship with God. I don't know whether you resonate with any of the three of the dangers that we've talked about this morning. But contained within all three of those dangers, and we've spoken about the opposite in each one, in all three, there is hope. In all three, there is the heart of a father who was revealed the most unparalleled, incredible mystery of the planet, which is that Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is hope for the future and for the present, and for a God who wants to change and transform your life. I believe that this morning. What I want to do is invite Tom back to lead us in some space and time to worship as well. And just as he comes back, I want to pray for us. And I want to pray for anyone particularly who resonates with what we're saying, what we're trying to communicate this morning. Let's just take a moment to pause and then to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is in your heart to be close to us. Thank you, Father, that you have done everything within your power to be close to us. And Father, where there has been distance in our relationship with you, where we've experienced distance, Father, we're sorry for that. And with courage and bravery and strength, we ask for the courage that we need to come towards you this morning, to come towards you in our pain and our suffering, come towards you in our plateau, in our stagnant place, and to come to you in our passive state. And we ask for you to change and transform us this morning. And we take a moment now just to rest in your presence, and to worship you again. And Holy Spirit, we invite that you would come and you would change and transform us. Father, we love you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just take a moment to worship, and Tom will lead us in that.